Lee was a professional engineer and knew a thing or two about rail mechanics. He strongly suspected Ruth was more than just a lackadaisical superintendent. He thought the man was a traitor. On December 8th, 5 days before the Fredericksburg battle, Lee wrote a confidential dispatch to Davis complaining about Ruth's lack of energy in hauling supplies to his troops. It was making his stand at Fredericksburg untenable. Daniel tried to smooth things over with Lee, but the general wouldn't be placated. After the battle, Lee fired off a second letter to Davis on January 23rd, again describing the severe supply shortage his men faced and suggesting that Captain Thomas R. Sharp, a quartermaster officer from North Carolina experienced in rail operations, replace Ruth. A hard-driving and no-nonsense officer, Sharp would not have tolerated delays as Ruth had, and military transport on the line would likely have improved. Davis refused to oust Ruth. He had worked for the Richmond, Fredericksburg, and Potomac Railroad for 25 years and compiled a spotless safety record. Ruth also had powerful Confederate friends who defended him. He was allowed to continue his clandestine work against Lee. Sharp's men moved out on January 20, 1863, for another attack, but the 120th trudged slowly along poor roads, making only a mile and a half of progress before it stopped for the evening as a winter nor'easter blew in, which continued through the next day. Burnside wanted to march his army up along the Rappahannock and cross the river to attack and turn Lee's left flank above Fredericksburg. The heavy rains that came, however, made muddy roads impassable. Wagons and artillery sank to their axles in the deep, sticky muck. I saw often 16 horses endeavoring to move a single caisson without success, Sharp recalled. Burnside gave up a day later, and his army returned to camp. The embarrassing foray became known as the Mud March. On the other side of the river, Confederate soldiers watching Burnside's troops become hopelessly stuck jeered and held up signs to taunt them. Babcock thought Burnside deserved to be hooted. Sharp noticed the rebels had painted on one of their signs details on how the Federals had planned to carry out the march, which apparently were not a secret to anyone. About the only silver lining Sharp found after the disastrous mud march, an army paymaster arrived at his regiment and paid his men. But they were shorted in the amount they were supposed to receive. The paymaster had only enough money to give them what they were due up to October 31st, and their fees to the sutlers who followed the army and sold them provisions ate up a good deal of what was left. Sharp had $5,994 of the soldiers' pay he planned to take back to Washington in a few days to wire back to their families. Fed up with his bungling, Lincoln fired Burnside and replaced him with Major General Joseph Fighting Joe Hooker, one of the Potomac Army's corps commanders who had been critical of his superior. Sharp would serve under Hooker, not as a regimental commander, but instead as the general's spy chief.